Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Bava Hashem, we are learning Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes. We left off on Daf Nun Ches, Amid Beis, towards the bottom, the last line of the Amid. We are in middle of the sugya of Oinoaz Devarim, the prohibition of not wronging someone verbally. And furthermore, we finished learning the concept of Hamalbin, Pnei Chaveiro Barabim. And as we spoke out yesterday, Hamalbin literally means if you make someone else's face white, when one is ashamed, as Tosfos pointed out, even though initially they become red, but the reddening of their face is because the blood is gathering there, in order for it to be drained from there, and that is tantamount to murder. So says Rabbi Bar Bar Chanan, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, turning to Daf Nun Tes. By the way, you know, since all of our Masechtas begin on Daf Beis, so really Daf Nun Tes is the 58th Daf, and that's the first word in the Amid, Noyach. That Noyach Leila Adam, that it is better for a person to have relations with a woman who is a doubtful married woman, that is better than ashaming someone else in public. Wow. And minale, and how do we know that? So we will now quote that which Rav expounded. And Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Midvarei. And quickly, even though we're going a bit ahead of ourselves, but if you look inside Rashi, three lines from the top of the Amid, here Rashi explains Kedadarash Ravam, the Toiva Masa Shel David Ubasheva, that the mistake that David HaMelech made with Basheva, that is relative to having to a shaming someone in public, that's a lesser sin. Mishalahem with Suffolk Ashishi. So let's give a quick review of what happened with David and Basheva. David HaMelech was then married to 6 wives. David HaMelech was destined to be married to 7 wives. Basheva then was very young. She was 6 or 7 years old. And as the Gemara says in Shabbos, that whoever says David HaMelech sinned is making a mistake. David HaMelech knew Benavua that Mashiach that is destined to come from David HaMelech's children is not coming from the prior 6 wives. And when he saw her for the first time, he heard a heavenly voice that said that she is the Bas Sheva, that she's the 7th one. And already knowing that from her Mashiach is going to come. Now what happened to be that she was previously married to Uriah. Rashi here quotes a Gemara that we learned in Ksubis, that Kol HaYotze LeMelchemes Beis David, whoever went out to war when he belonged to the army of David HaMelech, get Krisus Kosev LeIshta. He used to write a document of divorce to his wife. When we learned that Gemara in Ksubis, it appeared that he actually, the soldiers divorced their wives. So if they become missing in action, they don't return, they should not become agonis. But they made a verbal understanding, the husband and the wife, that if he, the soldier, will return, they will get remarried. Obviously, they were not kahanim, a kohen cannot marry even his own gerusha. Rashi here is explaining that the get that the soldiers gave to their wives was a conditional get. In other words, it wasn't a definite get. That if I will not return, then the get should go into effect from this day, retroactively. Now, ultimately, Uriah did not return, which taka meant that retroactively she was not married to Uriah. So when David had a relation with her, it came out later, she was not a married woman. But that is only something that happened later, retroactively. But when David HaMelech had relations with her for the first time, she was then a Suffolk Ashes Ish, because all wives of the soldiers who were out at battle were Suffolk Ashes Ishes, according to the Gemara here in Bava Metzia. Let's go back in the Gemara. Mi Dodara Shrava. The Dara Shrava, my Dechsev, what's the meaning of the Pasuk in Tehillim? That you would be, no, that you would be a vade, a non-married one. The way we learned there, none of them were married. If he gave her a get, not almanas, they gave a get. The only violation there of another man would be he would be going against a verbal agreement that these people made with each other. Amanas, which means that if he would return, she was never divorced. But if he won't return, which is taka what happened eventually, Uriah never returned, then retroactively she was divorced. But when David HaMelech had a relation, she was a Suffolk. My dechsev uvetzali samchu. The literal taich of this pasuk is that when I limped, my enemies rejoiced. Vina esafu, and my enemies gathered around me. Karu, they tore at me, v'loidamu, and they would not be silent. That is the literal meaning. So comes along Rav, and he makes a drush. And he teaches, u'betzali, Amar David, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, gol avidu lefonech. It is revealed and known for you. She'im hayu mekarim b'sari, that if my enemies would have torn at my flesh, blood would not flow to the ground. And as Rashi here on top of the Amid explains, the drash is, the homiletical is, uvitzali, the word tzala comes from the source uvitzela, that a wife is called the side of the man, as it's written by Chava. So uvitzali, because of the account of what happened with my wife, which is Batsheva, some whom my enemies rejoiced against me, and they gathered against me. And they ashamed me by telling me that I lived with a suffocatious ish. And that because of the shame, had they torn at my flesh, v'loidamu, there would be no blood. As we said yesterday, that hamalbin, when you wipe someone's face in public, meaning when you ashamed someone, ultimately all of their blood is drained from the surface. That is what he was saying. And v'loyoit, not only did they mock Dovan HaMelech, that he had a relation with the suffocatious ish, Ela filu b'sha'a sha'oisik, sha'oisken b'negayim v'ahala, is these people were great Talmud, Talmid HaChachamim. And even when they were learning, the most difficult parts of Torah, which are the laws, the people, the enemies of David, the laws of Negayim, and here there's a certain irony, because Negayim come because people are Moitzi Shemra on others. So while they were learning the laws of Negayim, not only should they have been occupied with the understanding of the laws, and the Ahalos and Dinim of Tumas Meis, these are very difficult Dinim. Then, Oymerim Li, they used to ask me, David, Habal Eshes Ish, if a man has a relation with a married woman, Bisasi Bema, what's the punishment? V'ani Oymer Lohem, and I, David, respond to them, that you should know you're right. If a person has a relation with a married woman, Misasi Bechenek, then you know it's a death penalty through strangulation. But v'yeshli chelik le'lam haba. But both of them, the man and the woman, at least have a portion in the world to come. Aval ha'malbim p'nei chaveri b'rabim. But a shaming someone in public, ain't lechelik le'lam haba. And that is the drush, that is what we started out with, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that noyech le'lo adam sh'yovei al suffocatious ish, v'al yalbim p'nei chaveri b'rabim. Marzutra bar Tuvia, in the name of Rav, v'omri lo, or Omar Rav Chana bar Bizna, in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida. Others say that the following statement is in the name of Amar Rabbi Yechanan, in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that noyech leilo adam shiyapal atzmoy lekif shana eish, that it's better for a person to throw oneself into a furnace of fire, va'al yalbin p'nei chaveir barabim, and not to ashame someone else in public. And minolon, how do we know that? From another story, which is actually related to the prior story. Throughout Tanakh, there are four stories that at surface appear to be not proper stories, and all of them lead up to the birth of Mashiach. And the first one in Chumash is the story of Loit and his two daughters. The second one is going to be the story that we're going to quote now from Yehuda and Tamar. We'll explain a little bit in a moment. Then you have the story of Boaz and Rus. And the fourth one is the one that we mentioned on top of the Amid, of David and Bathsheba. So what happened? Minol and Mitamar. It says regarding Tamar, analogous, Yehuda had three sons, as the Torah writes in Parshas Vayeshev, Eir, Oinon, and Shelah. And the eldest son, Eir, married Tamar. Eir passed away because of a sin that he did, as we learned together in Saita. Because of the mitzvah of Yibum that was practiced even before Matan Torah, Oinon was Miyabim Tamar. He also passed away. And Yehuda was hesitating to give his daughter-in-law to his youngest son, to Shelah. Before Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Yibum wasn't only on the brothers, it was also on the father-in-law. Which means that Yehuda or Shelah both had an option, a mitzvah, to be Miyabim Tamar. Now Tamar was not given over to the brothers, to Shelah. We learned one of the reasons in Saita, because she had the title of a Isha Katalanis, even though only two husbands died, but by two, there's a Tana that holds that you already become a Katalanis. And ultimately, Yehuda, who was traveling, who saw a woman that was dressed like a Zayna, and he turned away from her. But as it says in the Medrash, the Malach told him that you have to be with her because of the mitzvah. He didn't know then that that's the daughter-in-law, but he knew that Mashiach will come from that union. He had a relation with her, he not knowing that she's the daughter-in-law. She told him she wants to get paid as a Zayna. He had no money on him, so he left certain personal items as security that he will pay her. He asked his helper to go find that Zayna to pay and to get back his personal items. She was not found. And all of a sudden, it was discovered that she's pregnant. Being that she was bound to Yibum, to either Shelah or to Yehuda, so then it was considered then a capital sin. And Yehuda was involved in judging and being a Dayan, not knowing that he's the father. And she was condemned to be burnt. The Torah Tamimah brings an opinion that says that she was not actually condemned to be burned, mamish, because every time the Torah says that a person who commits adultery, a bas koyin, who's an arusa, is burnt, it says to burn them in fire. And the word in fire was not written in Parshas Vayeshev. So interesting to know. He brings an opinion that women who unfortunately became zaynas, they were branded on their foreheads with the word zayna. That was the fire. And he writes the Torah Tamimah, it doesn't contradict what we're about to say, because that's mamish like being burnt in fire. The whole life to go around on the forehead with the word Zayna. So it says over there that he, Mutzei, she was being taken out to be burnt. And had she told people that she got pregnant from Yehuda, that's not an act of adultery, because that's actually the mitzvah of Yibum. And by the way, we learned in Yavamah that the mitzvah of Yibum is done even without knowledge. The fact that they were together, that is Yibum. Had she said that, she would have ashamed Yehuda. She didn't want to shame Yehuda. Even though she was about to be burnt, whether it is Kepshutai, whether it is to be branded. And Vihi Sholcha El Chamiya, and she sent the pledge that she received from Yehuda, you know, the Chesem is the Psilim and the Matan, and she says that from the one who owns this, I'm pregnant. And she left the bull in his court. Now him, he had an option. He could have kept his dignity, go explain to people. Until today, people make fun of the story. That it was I. People would have asked him, you had a relation with the Zayna. He would say, a Malach came to me. The Malach told me to be with her because Mashiach is coming from it. Until today, people hear this and they don't accept it so quickly. So he needed to make a choice. Either she's going to be burnt or he's going to be ashamed. So you see that they both had real Mesiras Nefesh. She was willing to be burnt in fire not to ashamed Yehuda. And Yehuda was willing to ashamed himself for her not to get hurt. And dafke, because of that Mesiras Nefesh, from that Mashiach comes. So Amar Abchinana. Okay. So here we have this. Amar Abchinana Berei Deravide Maidech. See what's the meaning of the Pasuk? V'loisoinu isha samisai. And as we spoke out in the last year, that in Parshas Bahar, in Vayikra Perek Chafei, in Pasuk Yudalid, that is the first time the Torah mentions not to wrong others. The Torah says, V'chisimkru mimkar la'amisecha, oy konnoi miyadamisecha, al toinu ish es achiv. Don't wrong your brother. And as we learned beforehand many times, that al toinu refers to oinoas mamim. Don't defraud them when you sell. Don't overcharge or undercharge. V'chul. The Pasuk in Pasuk Yud Zayin says, V'loisoinu ish es amisai. One should not wrong his fellow, v'yoreisam elikech. And this v'loisoinu isha samisa is referring to einoas devanim. There's don't wrong people in money and don't wrong them verbally. The question is, why is it that by einoas mamayin the Torah says al toinu ish es achiv, a man to his brother, and here it says v'loisoinu ish es amisoi, fellow. Why don't we write achiv? So Rab Chinana says that the word amisa is a composite from am sheitcha, the nation that is with you. Nation being with you means betrayal over mitzvahs. When it comes to prize defraud, there were not a lot of defraud to anyone, whether they are now observant or not. But when it comes to the wronging oinoas devarim, which is worse than murder, that negative commandment only applies to someone that's behaving, that's observing all of the mitzvahs. To him, al teinehu. To her, al teinehu. Amar Rav says, Rav, lo elam yehi adam zor boi nos ishtay. A man should be especially careful not to verbally wrong his wife. And why is that? Since women, and this doesn't only go to one's wife, as the Rishonim say, that women cry easily, but beginning with one's wife, so if she feels hurt, she's going to cry. So you have to be especially cautious not to wrong her. And why, what do tears, I mean, tears is a terrible thing if you hurt someone, but what's the tears? So explains the Gemara that Amar Rabbi Elazar, V'yoyim shenachrav beis hamikdash, from the day the temple was destroyed, ninalu sha'arei tefillah, the gates of prayer were closed. And not, God forbid, that they were closed, that our prayers don't get through, but we have to be doifke, we have to knock on the doors. But the prayers don't get through that easily. And furthermore, even when our prayers get through, when Hashem responds, the response doesn't come to what appears to us immediately. It takes time. Shenemar, as it says, Gamki Ezak, even if I will cry out, Va'asha Veyan, I will plead, Shosam or Sosam Tefilasi, that Hashem stifles my prayers. Va'afal Pisha Sharei Tefilin in Alu, even though there is this block for prayer, but Sharei Demois Loin in Alu, but for tears the gates are never closed. Which means that Hashem's response to our tears is immediate, whether they are for good or if someone feels wronged and they cry out in pain, then the punishment for the wrongdoer happens immediately. Now, the advantage of having time is that we can do tshuva. But if the cause and effect happen immediately, there's not enough time to do tshuva. So be careful, especially with your wife, never to bring her to tears. Shenemar as it says, like another pasuk in Tehillim, that Shema Tifilasi Hashem. Hashem, listen, hear my prayer. Vishavasi Ha'azena, listen to my outcry. And we understand here that this is a prayer. He's asking for Hashem to listen to his prayers, which means it's not a given. Or as we said before, it's a given, but it might take a long time. But Eldimasi Al Techarash, you will not be deaf to my tears. And that's not a prayer, that's a fact, that he declared that to my tears you won't be deaf. For Amar Rav Anaf says, speaking about a man and his wife, Kol ha'ilach ba'atzas ishtay, whoever listens to his wife's advice, noifel b'gehenim, will fall into Gehenim. Ooh, Shenemar, as it says, Rak lo yehoya, 1 second, we're middle, it's like a middle of the haircut, 1 second, Rak lo yehoya ka'achav, you should not be like Achav, and like Rashi brings the pasuk, Asher hisisa oisoi izevel ishtay, that was incited by his wife Izevel. V'goymer. In other words, a man, on one hand, is careful not to hurt his wife. So here we go, we're balancing it out. So your tendency will be, if she says to do something, you don't want to make her cry. But you have to balance that out, that there are certain areas in life that you don't have to follow your wife's advice. And Amar Papa Labaya, let's clarify that. V'ha'amri inchi, but there is a saying, and we're taking this as a positive saying, that itzach gutza, that if your wife is short, Gichin v'silchayshla, you should bend down and whisper to her. In other words, you should follow her. So should you follow her or should you not follow her? So says the Gemara Leikash. Habibila da alma, when it comes to worldly matters, then you should not follow her. Habibila da basin, when it comes to the matters of the home, then you should follow her. Or lishnachina. Habimila de Shmaya, when it comes to spiritual matters, that is where you should not follow her. Habimila de Alma, when it comes to worldly matters, you should follow her. Now, by the way, when we're speaking about following or not following, it doesn't mean that in the areas in which you should not follow her, you should not listen to her. It's very important. But here again, the context of this conversation, that there are times that when people suggest something or they ask for something, if you don't listen, they get hurt. And on one hand, you have to be very careful not to hurt other people's feelings. And hamalbim penei chaveroi, if it's noch berabim, it is worse than murder. Or we spoke out yesterday that there's abazrayu, there's shvichas damim. That's why it's not mentioned in the three sins for which a person should die. One of them might be albu penei chaveroi berabim. And it is mentioned when it says, murder, don't ashamed in public. Here we're not ashaming in public, but here you're bringing someone to tears. There's going to be a consequence. On the other hand, yes, but you can respectfully not listen. And there are areas where you should listen. Someone has to have the final say. So that's the two girsas in the Gemara. Vaiter. Amar Rab Chizah says, Rab Chizah kol hashorim ninolim. All of the gates are closed. They're closed. That means only with difficulty do you get in. Chutz mishare oina. If someone treats someone else wrongfully, and again, let's connect it to tears. So then their feelings right away affect God Almighty. And the punishment is swift and coming. Shenemar, as it says, a pasuk in Amos, Hinei Hashem nitzav al chomos anoch. A anoch is a wall that is built with a plumb line, as Rashi speaks out, that they had this simple instrument, they had a string that had a piece of lead, a ball of lead underneath it, a small one, and because of gravity, that line with lead goes straight down. And if you want to make sure that the wall that you're building is straight, you would stand on top of it with a plumb line and make sure that it's not crooked. Now Hashem being behind the wall, that's the concept of a shar tefillah is nin alu. So the door is closed and kaviyachal Hashem is behind it. Hashem being on the wall, the plumb line is adjust. A wall that things have to be perfectly straight. Hashem is already on top of it. Ubiyodei anoch, and he's holding kaviyachal, the plumb line in his hand, which means that if there's going to be a punishment, Hashem is the one that does the punishment. And that's another way of expressing that the cause and effect happen immediately. If something happens through a shliach, it has to go to a shliach, then it has to go from the shliach to God Almighty, so to say. There's more garments, there are more tzimtzumim, it takes more time to go and to come. But if Hashem is already on the wall, and Hashem is the one that responds himself, so then the response is quick. Omer Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar, hakol nifra b'idei shliach. Everything that God Almighty does, he does it through a messenger. Chutz ma'ayna, a side of responding or punishing someone who wronged another verbally. Shenemar, as it says, ubiyadoi, that in God Almighty's hand was this anach, was this plumb line. Omer Rababo, gimel in apargid ninal bifneim. One of the words that we have, we learn in Chassidus, of a tzimtzum is a pargoid. Pargoid is a curtain. Obviously, all this has to be abstracted from the physical, but it connotes some sort of separation between one world and a deeper world, and a higher world. And all these curtains, again, it makes certain things delayed. So there's a cause and there's an effect. So Cain murdered Hevel. And initially he would have gotten killed right away. And Hashem extended his punishment for 7 generations. That is why we don't understand where the justice is, because things take time. Bayoinah doesn't take time. And the 3 things is Oinah, the punishment for robbery, and Avodah Zarah, and the reaction for serving idols. Oinah d'chsev, as we just mentioned, the pasuk in Amos, ubiyadoi anoch, biyadoi, meaning not in the hands of a shliach. Gezel d'chsev, that chamas v'shoid yisham abba, that Hashem says that he, the plunder and the spoils, is heard in Yerushalayim, and al panai tamid, and it's constantly in front of my face, Hashem says. In my face, it goes directly to me. And Avodah Zarah d'chsev, ha'am hamachisim oisi, that the people who are angering me, referring to Avodah Zarah, is again al panai tamid. They are continuously in front of my face. V'goymer. Amar Rav Yehuda, lo'olam yehi adam zor b'tfuah b'seich beisai, going back to the feelings of one's wife and family, you have to be careful, there should always be food in your house. Because fighting only increases in one's house. Oh, it's tension, there's tension. The question is, how forgiving are people? When people are full, they're forgiving. If there's no basics, then a little thing becomes a gross. El al iske tvua. Shenemar, as it says, hasam gevuleich shalom, that Hashem makes your borders peaceful. Your borders means your home. And why are they peaceful? Because chelev chitim yasbiach, because it's satiated with the cream of wheat. When there's food in the house, when there's parnasa, so things become easier to be brought to a peaceful conclusion. Amar Rav Papa says, Rav Papa hainu domini inchi, and that's the meaning that people say, that kimishlam sare mikado, that when the sa'arim, when the barley is emptied, is finished from your jug, ah, nakish v'asi tigre b'beisam, then quarrel begins to be heard in one's house. It's like when you have an empty pushka, then one coin makes a lot of noise. So when it's full, even, you know, life happens, a lot of good, sometimes things not that great, it's tolerated. But if it's empty, so if you don't want your wife to cry, make sure that there's food in the house. It's worse to owe the money to the credit cards than for the spouse not to be happy. Omer Abchinano, ve'omer Abchinano, or Omer the Tugirsis, in the Bar Papa Lo'olam, yehi Adam Zoyer, b'tfuas b'seich b'seich. A person should be careful, there should always be an abundance of food in one's home. Sholeinikro Yisrael Dalim, Yidden are only called poor, el al iskei tfuah, when there's no food. Shneimanas, it says, V'hoye im zore Yisrael v'goymer, this is a pasuk in Shoftim, when there were wars between the Midyanim and the Yidden. So it says that when the Jewish people planted, then it says, V'yachnu aleyam v'goymer, the Midyanim camped around us. V'chsiv, and it says, V'yidal Yisrael ma'oid, that we became very much impoverished, b'pnei Midyan. So the impoverishment was because there was a lack of food. So make sure there's plentiful food, and there'll be less meriva, and there'll be less tears, and there'll be more blessing. A person should be very careful to honor his wife. Blessing is only to be found in our homes. Ella b'shvil ishtoy, on the account of one's wife. Shenamar, as it says, Vila Avram hated Bavura. That's what Rava told the people that lived in Mechayza. Mechayza was the city that had a lot of wealthy people. That oikiru l'neshaychu, you should honor your wives. In order for you to become wealthy, it was when people don't get it, when everything has to be selfish, it's all about me. So then you use the school of Ashiras. Hopefully we don't need that. But if that's what you need, it's about you. But for you to be wealthy, be nice to your wife. Tanan Hasan. Now, because of the sugya of Aynaz Devarim, we're learning a very important story that's quoted many times. And there are two parts of this story that brings us back to the sugya of not wronging someone verbally and how hurting someone's feelings, even though we're learning Nezikin, it's not something that can be monetized. We said that many times in Bava Kamma. It's interesting. Al pi halachim, if I hurt you, so what do I have to pay for? What are the five damages? One of them is emotional, and it's specific. It's not that you're hurt, it's that you're ashamed. But aside of shame, there is no financial penalty for hurting someone's feelings. That's ben adam l'chaveiro, ben adam l'makom. It's the worst thing. And if they cry, even worse. And if it's barabim, it's murder. So says the Gemara, Tan Tanan Has. And this is a Mishnah in Kalim. We're learning this now in Rambam. That certain kalim are susceptible to become tamei. Certain kalim, to begin with, can never become tamei. A klei cheres, a earthenware, meaning that we made a utensil out of the earth, but you fired it in a kiln. It became hardened in a kiln. Then it's called klei cheres. If you make a utensil from earth and it wasn't fired up in a kiln, it's called a klei adama. A keli from the Adama, a clay Adama never becomes tummy. Now, by the way, a kli cheres has unique dinim, as we're learning. It doesn't become tummy from the outside. On the other hand, if some tumah entered its ear space, even if there was no physical contact, it brings tumah. And a classical example will be they had ovens. If the ovens themselves were fired up in a kiln, if they are a clay cheres, then if a sheretz, a dead sheretz, enters its ear space, a mouse died inside an oven, even if it didn't touch the walls, everything in the oven becomes tummy. The oven becomes tummy. And here the question became, when they had what's known as the Tanur Shal Achnoi, or as Tosfos on Amud Beis brings the version of the Yerushalmi, the Tanur of Chachanoi. Here we're going to interpret Achanoi means a coiled serpent. If you had, they had the oven made out of a kli cheres that was fired in a kiln, but they broke it into sections. For whatever reason. So they had like rings. And they cemented the rings together using sand. Using adama. So the question is, how do you categorize this oven? Is it considered a clay cheres? Because the rings were made out of earth, made out of ceramic that was fired in a kiln? Or do you say that if they would not have been cemented together, it would not be a functional oven, all the heat will escape? What makes the keli into a keli? The earth that's connecting the rings. The earth is clay adama. And the nafkamina would be, obviously, if you were baking bread in there and a dead sheretz was in there from the Shmoyne Shuratzim, are those foods tahar or are they tummy? So Tanan Hasim, the last line of the Amit, let's get moving. That chatochai chulyos, if this clay cheres oven was cut into sections. However, venos and choyl, but sand was put ben chulya le chulya, between every ring, between every section, sand without being fired is adama. So Rabbi Eliezer, this is the Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer ben Harkonos said that it has the category of a clay adama. And therefore, it's tahar. And the Chachamim were mitamin. The Chachamim said that it's tamei. Now, you have to understand like this, that having a disagreement from the times of the Mishnah, or from the time of the Zugais, is common. But the rule is that we can debate theoretically. But once the majority rules on one side, then even the party that opined otherwise has to give in to and has to follow the ruling of the majority. Because if not, God forbid, we would have many Taitas. And it's Taita Achas. So there's a rule here in this world that Achrei Rabam Lahatois. Now the rule of Achrei Rabam Lahatois is not a rule that they follow in the heavens. Because in the heavens, they care about the Emes. And if the minority has it right, you follow the minority. But in this world, we don't have Emes. And in order not to have two titles, God Almighty said, Achrei Rabam Lahatois. Now here, Rabbi Eliezer was not giving in to them. We're not expecting him to agree with them theoretically. He was not following that ruling. And Vizehu Tanur Shal Achnoi. And this is the famous oven of the Achnoi of the Kurash. He says, Nochash Darkei Lasis Ba'agula, that snakes normally, they coil themselves. They become circular by putting their tail in their mouth. And Tosfos here brings the other girsa, Tanur Shal Chachanoi. In any event, let's go back and think about a Mayachnoi. Why did they call this a coiled snake? Not because it was made out of pieces. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel sheikifu devarim ka'achnozu, that they surrounded Rabbi Eliezer like a snake coils around a person, with proofs that he's wrong and they're right, and ultimately vitimu, and they said that the tanur is tamei, it is considered a klei cheres, and Rabbi Eliezer did not accept them, did not accept their ruling. And Tana quotes the Gemara Braisa that ba'oys ha'yom on that day heishiv Rabbi Eliezer kol. Rabbi Eliezer responded to all of their attempted proofs. He stood his ground. And veloy kiblu heimenu. That was the point. And they did not accept his responses. So they ruled tamei and he kept on ruling tahar. Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar lahem. So came along Rabbi Eliezer and he tells him, Emalacha kamaisif, talach is like me. And the Gemara is going to quote three miracles that he performed. First one was, Charuv Zed, this carob tree. Yoichiach should prove that I'm right. How would it prove that he's right? Nekar Charuv Mimkoime, this carob tree was miraculously uprooted from his place and it traveled 100 amma. V'amri la, another version is that it traveled Arba Meyas amma, 400 ammas. Amru Lai, so they tell Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Nevi'en Raim and Acharuv, you can't bring a proof from the carob tree. So Chazar v'amalahem, he tells them later, Im alochi kemaisi, if the aloch is like me, that it's called a clay adama, and it's tahar, amasm hamayim yechichu, made this water canal, made this water channel, made this body of water that's going downstream, should prove that I'm right. And a miracle happened, and Chazar amas hamayim lachoneim, and that water stream went upstream, it changed its direction. So they tell him again, you can't bring a proof from water. So he tells him the third miracle, if the halacha is like me, made the walls of our house of study, may they prove that I'm right. And what happened? He took the walls leaned to fall. And as they are leaning to fall, Goar Behem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, that was part of the Chachamim, disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, he began to shout at the walls. And Amar Lahem, and he tells the walls, Im Talmid Chachamim and Atzchum Zed Zeba Halacha, that if Talmid Chachamim are vying one with the other in Halacha, so he tells them, Atem Matifchem, who are you to mix in? So Leinaflu, so the walls didn't fall, Bepnei Chvedish L'Rabbi Yeshua. But on the other hand, V'loi Zakvei, but they didn't straighten themselves out, Bepnei Chvedish L'Rabbi Eliezer. And says the Gemara, Vadayin Matin Voimim, they're still suspended, leaning on the side. Now, here we have three Nisim. And as the Ben Yehoyada explains, that two things happened here. Number one, he performed a miracle, miracles. And then there's another divine intervention by asking Hashem to opine himself. Now, there are different levels of prophecy. And we learned this together, that after the Churban HaBayis, Bayis Rishon, the levels of Nevuah diminished. And the common level of prophecy that was found during these days, the times of the Mishnah, was what we call a bas koil. We learned this in Chassidus, whether you're connecting to Malchus of Bria, or whether you're connecting to Malchus of Yetzirah. A bas koil comes from the world of Yetzirah. So v'chazar v'amar lahem. So now Rabbi Eliezer tells them, im halacha k'maisi min hashamayim yechichu. Let God Almighty say his opinion. So yatsa baskoil. So a heavenly voice came out and says, ma lochem etzel Rabbi Eliezer. Who are you to go against Rabbi Eliezer? Shahalacha k'maisi b'chol makim. The halacha is like him. Now you have, I think the Marsha here says something beautiful. We're going to learn later on Daf Pei Vav, the story that we Hasidim know because it's in the first Perek of Tanya, that Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, the one that says, I'm a Beinoni, and the Alter Rebbe says that he, Lepasak Pumim Megirsa, so the Lepasak comes from Bava Metzia Pei Vav, and there we're speaking about Dinim of Negoyim, that the Nega on the skin, that at first the rule has to be that the white patch has to be before the white here, tummy. The white here is before the white patch, tohid. If there's a suffix, so the Gemara quotes a machlekes between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Masifta Derakiyah. And man, Yechiyach, Rabba Bar Nachmeni, Yachid Ben Agayim. So when they asked him to opine, so he needed to pass away. So why did he have to pass away? Why couldn't he knew about the machlekes and he could have said, as he said, that tar, suffix tar. I think the Marsha here says no, because we are learning that in this world, Akhli Rabam Lahatois. If he would have been alive here, so even though he's siding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rabbah, but you have the Masifta Derakia, which is a Raif. In order for his opinion to have more validity, he was not allowed to be in this world. As we're going to learn, in this world, Akhli Rabam Lahatois. So God Almighty made an announcement. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua Raglav Amar. Loi bashamayimi, a pasuk in Parshas Netzavim, right before it says that Kikarav Elach Hadavar Ma'od, and Moshe Rabbeinu says Loi bashamayim. It's not in the heavens. Emay Loi bashamayim explains the Gemara Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Shekvar Nitna Torah Mahar Sinai, that when God gave us the Torah in Har Sinai, He wrote in the Torah. Hashem writes in the Torah Achrei Rabim Lahatois, and therefore Ein Onu Mashgichim Vebaskoil Shekvar Kosva. Comes along the second Tosfos and he asks a question that we learned in Masechta Yevamos. 3 years, Talmid Rabbi Silol, Talmid Rabbi Shammai were fighting. The halacha is like whom? And the Gemara says over there that Eilu ve'Eilu, Abaskoil, Divrei Elokim Chayim, halacha k'Rabbi Silol. So Frek Tosfos, if we're learning over here that Emashgichem ve'Baskoil, how did that Baskoil help? So let's quickly read inside the second Tosfos. Number one says, Tosfos Shana Hache, here is different than there. Here the Baskoil was going against the majority. There the Baskoil was going with the majority. Because Beis Hillel, aside of the one case we learned in Shabbos in the beginning, in the Aliyah of? The attic of? Ben Gurion. But there was another name we're missing. Aside of sometimes that the Rabbim were with Beis Shammai, normally the Rabbim was with Beis Hillel. Now, the Tosfos says Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai were chadudei tvei. They were sharper. But there the Baskoil is going with the Rabbim. Then we listen to the Baskoil. Then Tosfos gives another important answer. That you know when you're not mashgiach by Baskoil, who called for the Baskoil? Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, if the side that needs to be justified as calling out for the Baskoil could be l'chvoidoi, the Baskoil says. Over there, it wasn't. It was neutral. By neutral, yemashgichem v'baskoil, b'chal, there's a sefer called sefer, shaylus u'tshuvas min hashamayim. That's accepted. So this whole sugya that people always quote here, Bava Metzia, that yemashgichem v'baskoil is not, so to say, a definite rule. You have the Magid Mishorim. And the Magid Mishorim was telling, the Rabbi Yosef Kairi was telling him halacha. What is that? Okay, so let's leave it open. So, but here we're learning Emashgichem Baskoil, and the Gemara says that Ashkechei, because there were more base Hillel, not Hillel. The Talmidei Hillel were always more numerous than Beis Shammai. Aside of a few moments, Ashkechei Rab Nosson Eliyo. Rab Nosson once met Eliyo Anavi. Amalei Ma'ayov Kuchubicho Barayshata. What was Hashem doing at that time? That Rabbi Yeshua, after hearing the Baskoil, said, "Ei mashgichem the Baskoil." So Amar Lei, Eliyahu Navi says, "Kochoyich," that Hashem was laughing. Va'amar, and Hashem says, "Nitzchuni banai, my sons, you win." Nitzchuni banai, my sons, you win. Explains the Ben Yehoyada twice because Nisim and a Baskoil and a Vua, which is very important. That Yiddishkeit is established by the Sanhedrin. Yiddishkeit is established by the majority of the halachic opiners in that generation. And that's it. And if we wouldn't have that solid rule, then we would have many Torahs, God forbid. And even if the majority is wrong, it doesn't make a difference. We follow the majority. Again, the problem here wasn't that Rabbi Eliezer had a different opinion. We encourage that. Is that he was paskening against the Rabbim. So Amru, and now we have a very sad part of this event, that Oysa Hayoim, that on that day, after the Baskel came out, and we stood our ground here, and we said, Achrei Rabbim Lahatois, period. Then, Heviu Kol Taharoi Shetir Rabbi Eliezer, all of the foods that were made in this oven, or in ovens like this, that he followed his ruling that it's a Klei Adama, and Rabbim says a Klei Cheres, Usirafum Be'esh, they burnt it. Not only that, v'nimnu olav, they took a vote, uberchu, and they blessed him, v'loshon saginor, or they put Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol into Cheir. And v'amron, then they said, mi yelech v'yoydiyoy, who should notify him? So amr lehem Rabbi Akiva, ani yelech, I'm gonna go, shem yelech adam she'eno hagoin, because if someone that's not worthy, and not intelligent, and v'yoydiyah, and he'll notify him in a wrong way, v'nimtza machneves kol olam kula, he'll destroy the whole world, as we'll see. Ma'asa Rabbi Akiva? How did Rabbi Akiva do it properly? Lava shchayrim. Rabbi Akiva behaved as if Rabbi Akiva was put into a ban. So he put on dark clothing. V'nasatev, and he wrapped himself with dark clothing. And v'yashav lefanav, and he went to Rabbi Eliezer, but he sat berichuk arba amos. He sat 4 cubits away. Amru le Rabbi Eliezer Akiva, mayum yumayim, what's happening? What's today different than yesterday with the black? Is the charai, normally they wore white? The shirt, they wore a black shirt. The shirt was Amar Loi, Rabbi, Kimeduma li shechaver medila mimcha. Wow, Rabbi Akiva was so smart. Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Eliezer, it looks like we were banned from you. Oh. And Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol understood. That's the way you notify people bad news. Omar, so Afu Karabagadov, Rabbi Eliezer, who also rent his garments, Vecholitz Manolov, and he took off his shoes. These are dinim of a person that is in chedim, what they need to do. V'nishmat, and he slid off his chair. V'yoshav al-gabakart, and he sat on the ground. And zol go'en of demais, and he began to cry. Now we're going back to the crying. So at that moment, laka ha'olam, the world then was struck, was smitten. Shlish b'zeisim, v'shlish b'chitim, v'shlish b'so'erim. That a third of the olives, a third of the wheat, and a third of the barley in the entire world got ruined. I pushed it v'gat from yeshiva, but I know that these three, the three Zaysim, Chitim, and Soirim are connected to the Charuv, Amasmayim, Kedengpish, and the wall. That's the three. And what about the Baskoil? So Vyesha Imrim, Av Batsek Shibidei Isha, that a woman that were in the middle of kneading dough, Tafachid, got spoiled. That's the Baskoil, the woman. V'telachachim V'yech Kamoy, they'll come back. Okay, Vaitim. Tana says the Gemara. Now you have two versions. Our version is Ach. We just had a few weeks ago. Ach Noyach, Rashi says. Ach. So either ach, that a great blow, or we have in the Masoreh Sashas, af, great anger was on that day. Shebechol mokim shenasan b'einov, Rabbi Eliezer, wherever Rabbi Eliezer looked, we have the same lashon in the Maaseh of the Rashbi, Nisrav, everything got destroyed. For af Rabbi Gamliel, who was the presiding Nasi during this time, he might not have been there, but he was the presiding Nasi. Under his leadership, Rabbi Eliezer was put into Chedim. So Hoya Baba Sfine, he was in a ship. Amad Olav Nachshay Lutavi, there was a big wave that was going to drown the ship. And Rabbi Gamliel said, Kimadumali, I think She'ein Ze'el B'Shul Rabbi Eliezer Ben Arkanos. This is God Almighty standing up for the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. Amad Araglav, he stood on his feet. V'amad, and he says, Ribayne Shalaylam Golui V'yidu Lefanecha, it's known for you. Shalay Lechvaydi Yosisi, that we who, you know, put a marker in the ground that we're not going to listen, not to Abbas Koyle, not to Nisim, and not to Das Yachid, Achravam, Lahatois. We did not do it for our honor, V'loy Lechvayt Beis Abba, not for the honor of our families, El Sisi El Lechvayt Cha. It is for your honor, Shulayibu Machlekes B'Yisrael. And that's mamash, there should not be two titus. We understand how important it is. So when he made that statement, Nachayom Mizafoy, the sea subsided from its raging. Continues the Gemara, Ima Shalom. Ima Shalom is the name of the wife of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. She was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. They were brothers-in-law. Devisu de Rabbi Eliezer, Achsi de Rabbi Gamliel Avoy. Now, what we see from our Gemara is the following, that in as much as we can argue that the Shmoyne Esrei is the highest level of davening, as we learn in Chassidus, it's connected to the world of Atzilus, even greater as to affect change in this world is Tachanun. Now let's also just make one point, that Tachanun is different today as it used to be. There used to be a real Nefilas Apayim. They used to mamish lay out on the ground. And I think when we learned this in Megillah, going back a while, we taka learned that after a while, the Chachamim instituted that we should not fully lay on the ground. Because the rule is, after davening, if you don't speak anything not directly davening between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachanun, whatever you ask for in Tachanun happens quickly. For the few individuals that had certain blockages and it didn't happen for them, and therefore they prayed in Tachanun and their prayers did not materialize, it was Moitzi Laz on Tachanun. So the Chachamim instituted that you shouldn't say Tachanun the way you really used to. Instead of fully laying down on the ground, the way we do at the Minogenu today, we sit down, we just cover our faces. The wife of Rabbi Eliezer knew that when Rabbi Eliezer, who was hurt from this, if he were to say Tachanun, the way he always did, without making any verbal interruption between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachanun, then his pain would be heard, and there's going to be a punishment against Rab Gamliel. So what she needed to do is she needed to make sure that he always had some sort of verbal hefsik interruption between his Shmoneh Esrei and his Tachanun. That was her burden, Nebuch. You understand this? Look at this. So, from that story, she did not allow him to fall on his face. Meaning, every day she asked him a question. The question is, where did he daven? Is the Charayit, there was a ladies section during the week. She went to shul with him. And every day, and look at the patience of Rabbi Eliezer. Every day she interrupted him with something. He responded to her, knowing that he's losing his real Tachanun. But what happened was, one day she messed up, that's what happens. One day something went off. There are two versions of what happened. Either Reish Yarchav was Rosh Chodesh, V'chalof Lei Bin Moli L'chassid, and she made a mistake between a full month and a non-full month. And here there's different opinions exactly what happened, but let's go with the first opinion. Today, when we have a 29-day month, so then that next month has a two-day Rosh Chodesh. Bizman Hagemara, they didn't have a two-day Rosh Chodesh. It was always only a one-day Rosh Chodesh. The question is, was Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day? In other words, the earlier month had 29 days, Chaser. The next day is Aleph. Or did the previous month have 30 days and the 30th day was not Rosh Chodesh then? And the 31st day was Yom Aleph Rosh Chodesh. So she confused it. In other words, she thought that one day, which she thought is Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh they don't say Tachnun. So she thought it's Rosh Chodesh, but it wasn't. There's another understanding that even then there were 2 days Rosh Chodesh, but she thought that the month was a Mali. Really the month was a Chaser. So she thought there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh when really there was only 1 day Rosh Chodesh. So on the second day, when she thought it's second day Rosh Chodesh, Aleph of the new month, really it was Yom Beis. But anyway, there was a day in which Tachnun was said, but she thought it's not said. Or another version, Ikad Yamri, Asa Anya, that a poor man came, Vikoy, above and knocked on the door. And it's mamish like we just learned in Avraham Avinu, that she understood her responsibility. But there's nothing more important than giving a piece of bread to a poor man. Avraham Avinu tells the Shechina, wait, I'm going to go feed them. So she went out, apika le'rifta, she went to bring him bread. And at that time, he davened Shmoneh Esrei. The poor man needed a lot of bread. It was a long maisa. And by the time she turned around to disturb her husband, finally, he thinks my wife is not disturbing. Let me say, "Psagut Tachnun," and she finds her husband. The Nafal al Ampe that he was already saying Tachnun. Amrele, she sees her brother and she shouts, "Kum, stand up!" Her husband, that Kotolis Lachi, you're killing my brother. Adachi, it's too late. At that time, nothing shepaita. Shepaita means an announcement. It's not shofar. That may base Rab Gamliel from the house of Rab Gamliel, the shachiv that Rab Gamliel the Nasi passed away. So Amar Lo, so he asked his wife, Mino Yodat, how did you know that he passed away? Amar Lo, so she tells him that Amar Lo, she tells her husband, Kach mikoblani mi beis avi abba, I received the tradition from my family's home, says Rashi, she was a descendant of the house of David HaMelech, that kol ha-sha'arim nin olim, that all of the gates are locked, chutz mishare yayna, aside of the gate of her wronging someone, bringing them to tears. And dear God Almighty's response is swift. And my husband felt wrong from the chedim of the basin of Rab Gamliel. And now that when that pain was expressed during Tachnun, so then the punishment was swift. And sadly, Rab Gamliel passed away. Let's chaparayin until the Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanim, we learned in a braisa, Hama'anas hageir, if a person verbally wrongs a convert, he's violating three negative commandments. If one oppresses a convert, so here there's a machlokes rishonim what this means. Rashi, and we will follow Rashi, says we're speaking about pressing for a debt. If someone owes you money and they don't have to pay, they don't have then, you're not allowed to oppress them. So there's a special love regarding the convert. If you oppress a convert who owes you money and doesn't now have what to pay, you're over on two lavim. So asks the Gemara, one second. Maishna ma'ana, why are you telling me that there are three lavim by verbal wronging? And the Gemara is going to quote the three psukim. Because the chsiv shleisha lavim. It says, v'ger loisayna. It says, v'chi yogur itcha ger ba'artzachem loisaynu oisay. Number three, v'loisaynu ish es amisay. And even though amisay, we had a number aleph, doesn't mean specifically to a ger. It means am she'itcha b'toyro mitzvahs. But that's why a ger is part of am she'itcha. So, you know, when you learn in yeshiva, why did the Gemara B'chol have to bring the three psukim by Aina? And the answer is because we are saying that there isn't three psukim specifically about a ger. Two is about a ger. The third one is about amisoy. But since a ger is B'chol amisoy, so that's the three lavim. Because it says loisil chatzenu. Number two, v'ger lo silchatz, and then there's a third pasuk. True, the third pasuk is not about a ger; it's about all yidden. But a ger is included in the Bnei Yisrael. V'lo yisil lo kenosha. Don't be a nudge. Don't press a person when they don't have the money. V'ger b'chlal who? Answers the Gemara. You're right, Ella. You have to amend the braisa. Echad zeh b'shloisha. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer. Good. So we're concluding our Gemara, quoting a statement from Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Mipnei ma izid ha-Torah. Why is it that the Torah forewarned us belamid vav mekaymos in 36 places, or va'amrila others say b'mem vav mekaymos, 46 places? So now obviously all the Rishonim have to work out what are the 36. Why didn't the 36 say it's 46? So ayin b'shita. That what begeir regarding a convert, and this is both in the negative, not to oppress him, and in the positive, that you should love him. You know, aside of the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, the Torah many times says, v'ahavtam es hager. Why are we so told 36 times, 46 times, mipnei shesurai ra, which means that he has, his inclination is bad. Which means that if he's not going to feel accepted by the community, being that he was brought up with a different lifestyle, it's easy for a person to go back to the old lifestyle if they don't feel welcomed in the current life. My dechsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk? V'ger loy soina v'loy sil chatzenu, that don't oppress again. And v'loy sil chatzenu, ki geirim eisim be'eretz Mitzrayim. So says the Gemara, we're going to go with the version of the Masoiras HaShas, that Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, mum shebecha al toimer lechavercha, that your blemish, don't say to someone else. In other words, that we were gaydim in Mitzrayim. We were gaydim. So by somehow looking down at the newcomer, because he's a newcomer, that's our own blemish. Whereas the holy Baal Shem Tov says that we always project that if we see a blemish in someone else, we're seeing our own blemish. Because mum shebecha is what we see on the others. And that's so important, says the Gemara behind the Domri Inchi. That's the expression that people have, that the zakev lei zekifa bidiyoske, that if a person has someone that was hung in his family, which is a shanda to the whole family, someone, the great uncle, was hung by the government, so he should be so careful, leinemo lei lechavre, he should never use the words hanging when speaking to someone else, even in a different context. He shouldn't tell his friend, Zikeif binisa, hang up this fish. Don't mention the word hang. So the concept of calling out to someone else that they are a ger, that is the worst oppression. First of all, Surah Ra, you're causing him to go back to his old ways. And furthermore, it's Mum Shabbacha, Al Tamil Chaverecha, Emir Tz Hashem to be continued tomorrow.